Do you ever catch yourself downplaying how seriously you take jiu-jitsu just because you don't compete? You show up consistently, train hard, and it still doesn't feel like enough. So today, we're digging into what that really means to take yourself seriously on the mat. Welcome to Beauty in the Gi, the podcast about jiu-jitsu and so much more. I'm Jen Eads, a purple belt full of curiosity and questions about jiu-jitsu and so much more.
And I'm AJ Clearman, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt obsessed with jiu-jitsu.
We have a listener-inspired topic today.
Excellent.
So shout out to Leanne, who sent us a question probably a few weeks back now.
Well, you know.
We made it. We get to them as quickly as we can. I'll kind of paraphrase the question to kick us off. How do I justify taking training seriously to myself? I don't want to compete, but I do want to be safe and be able to be taken seriously as a training partner. And at what point does size and strength come into play with all of this? So we have a lot to break down.
So yeah, that is a very loaded question. Okay.
Yeah. So much for a short episode.
I'll do my best.
Yeah. Let's just start out with, what does taking yourself seriously mean to you as a coach?
I think it's training with purpose. Sometimes that's what people need competition for, right? Like that's where I always say my favorite part about competing is who I am leading up to the competition, like training more and eating better and all of those things. And, you know, maybe you're never taking the time to focus on your training if you're not competing. So I think you have to find some sort of purpose. And I am guilty of this. Like I am on the mat morning and night, multiple days a week, right? Mm-hmm. So it's easy to just be like, meh, I'll roll in the next class. I'm kind of sore today. I'm kind of tired, whatever. I'll roll in the next class. So like, it's really easy as the instructor to do that. It's also easy to crazy overtrain. So, you know, balance. But for me, if I'm not competing, if I don't have a competition coming up, I have to find ways to train with purpose. Mm-hmm. And that might be, you know, for example, my birthday was last week. You're dual Libra hosts here.
Yep.
But my birthday was last week and I set a goal that I wanted to roll 46 rounds last week for my 46th birthday.
Did you hit the goal?
I did. I did hit the goal. Of course I did.
I mean, I kind of knew. But...
and here's the thing. I wouldn't have hit it. One, if I didn't make it, true. But also if I didn't do things outside of normal class times, you know, like if I only did it during the normal times that we're able to roll in class, I wouldn't have made it. Mm-hmm. But because I, you know, did a couple open mats and Risser and I got in some extra training on the side, I was able to hit 46 rounds. But there have been times where we're have a challenge of like, let's hit 100 rounds this month. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the same concept, right? It makes you focus on, okay, I have to do 25 rounds a week. That's still a lot, right? Like that's a lot for most people. And for you, only training in the morning, you couldn't hit that without intention and without like, okay, I'm going to have to come in and do some extra, or I'm going to have to ask somebody to stay later, you know, whatever that is.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, things like that. It could also be, you know, you come in and you're like, I'm going to hit this sweep. I'm going to, you know, you find a new move you want to work on, or I'm going to hit so many submissions tonight and rolling. Like I'm going to make someone tap three times, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. But I think the only way to make it to where the same thing isn't happening day in and day out is to have some sort of focus, some sort of goal to focus on. A focus to focus on. That's what you need.
We're full of such great observations very early into our coffee this morning.
Yes, yeah.
Because we are recording before class.
Before class, very early. Yes.
What do you think are healthy expectations for yourself as someone that's doing jiu-jitsu recreationally versus somebody that's like really competing a lot?
I mean, I think that's individual. Like, I don't know. I think the side note of this is you don't have to take yourself seriously. Like, you can just have jujitsu as a way to relieve stress, have fun, be with your community. It doesn't have to be serious, but you have to balance whether that gets boring after a while.
Yeah.
And whether you're progressing in any way. Because if you never take it seriously, probably your progression is going to be a lot slower too.
That makes sense.
So I don't know what you say about balance, because everybody's life is different. Like, you can be an avid competitor and only get to train 3 days a week, but those days are very focused and you know exactly what you're going after. And you can be a hobbyist that's here 7 days a week.
Right.
So balance is, I can't answer that for you.
Well, and I think it still comes back to what you said initially about intention.
Yeah.
And focus.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the key. And I think that at least for me, as someone that doesn't compete, but I do have competing priorities with my life.
Yeah.
And I feel like based on, you know, what season you're in, like I'm in a very busy season at work right now. Mm-hmm. Yay. But that means I may not be in as much to train. And I think you have to prioritize what that looks like for you.
It just has to be okay. You know, like you have to know, like, this is where my life is right now. And, you know, maybe next month I'll be doing a ton of jujitsu, or, you know, like, it just always changes. It always ebbs and flows.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Do you think that you can be a serious practitioner? And I don't even know, like, what serious practitioner for you, that for those of you not watching, it's air quotes around serious practitioner, if you don't compete.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right with the air quotes, right? Like, what does serious mean to you?
Yeah. If it means someone that does not laugh during training,
then I'm out.
That is not me.
No, I'm out.
Yeah.
If we can't laugh during training, if I can't serenade you while we're rolling,
you mean while you're crushing my soul?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm singing life back into you.
Oh, that's
while
what
I'm
that
taking
is.
Your breath away.
Now I know.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a better understanding. Thank
exactly.
you for that.
You're so welcome. But what does serious mean to you? Like, I don't know. I feel like it's a hard question to answer. And I feel like maybe this isn't a question of your own, but a question of someone else questioning you. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah. Are you afraid that you're not being taken seriously by your training partners
or your coaches?
Yeah.
Right. Like, do they not really pay attention to you because you're not on their competition team? Or
right.
Like that's very possible. Like, is this a question of your own self? Like, you know, I don't know. If it's your own question, it's like, well, what are your priorities?
Yes.
You know, what are the things you want to get out of jujitsu, and aim towards those? Like, if being serious means, you know, you want to be a coach someday, well, then help the new person with warm-ups, or go help with the kids class or the teens class, or like whatever class you can start helping in, and then start volunteering to like teach a class while the coach is out or something. But like, what does serious mean to you? If this question is for yourself, if this is something that other people are curious about, I think if it's your teammates, it's probably just that you're not training hard or, again, focused,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, because the only reason I would question my teammate is whether they were serious or not is like if they come in and like just stretch the whole time, or, you know, like they're not actually doing the drills. Yeah. Or they're not.
Or if
rolling.
They are jacking around.
Exactly.
Like, you can have fun and right. laugh, but you do have to have back to that focus and intention of drilling with intention.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I think the only reason, or, you know, the only thing that would really make your teammates question that is how your attitude in that kind of stuff is in class. Coach wise, if they're questioning it, then I think it's a conversation with them. Like, what are your goals for me? If I'm not somebody who wants to compete, what does serious look like to you?
Yeah.
And maybe asking them that individually.
I like it. Where do you see size and strength playing into this versus technique? Is it a situation of, I'm just going to, you know, if I'm bigger than somebody, I'm just going to use my strength and my size rather than actually focusing on the technique.
Here's the thing. In the beginning, if you have size and strength, you're always going to use it. It's just impossible for you not to. Even if you don't have size and strength, you're trying to use it, right? Yeah. That's just normal because you're trying to compensate for not knowing jiu-jitsu. That's understandable. But the more you're able to use technique over the strength, the less tired you will get and the better you'll get at jiu-jitsu because you'll be focusing on how to do jiu-jitsu. I think if you are more active, you have a little bit of experience under your belt, you know what you're doing. I only tend to use strength when I have to, right? Like I'm trying to use technique. I'm trying to use leverage, that kind of stuff. That's the point in jiu-jitsu, right? That technique and leverage can beat size and strength. Mm-hmm. Now, does that always happen exactly like that? Absolutely not. Because we're going to still use our strength when we have it or our size when we have it. But that's the idea. So I think the more you can use technique, the better. I think if you're, you know, for me, if I'm just smashing somebody, it's because I'm tired or I'm trying to protect myself or, you know, I know that, I don't know, that I might get hurt if I let them up. So sometimes I just lay there and I'm like, no, you're just going to suffer under here forever. But most of the time I will get into that position and like secure my position and then move on because I'm trying to better my jiu-jitsu and better my partner's jiu-jitsu, not smash. You know, like I know I can stay and mount for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm here for, right? That doesn't benefit either of our jiu-jitsus unless your goal is, can I stay under your mount for 5 minutes and not die?
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes that's the drill. Sometimes it's like, can you just suffer under this and not give up? Okay. If you're on the smaller side and you're like, you know, how can I be dangerous when I don't have the size and strength? A lot of times it's about speed. It's about flexibility, you know? And like when I'm talking to bigger people that are afraid to use size and strength, I'm like, you know what? That person over there is not apologizing for using their flexibility and their
speed. They never apologize.
They never apologize. So they're going to use their attributes. I'm going to use mine. If I'm going with Stormy, I'm going to smash them because otherwise they're like limbs are everywhere. And, you know, so I'm like, I have to like slow them down.
Yes. All of the limbs.
Yeah.
I think sometimes the flexible people just grow limbs.
Exactly. Or, you know,
it's amazing skill.
They can be so fast sometimes and you're just like, how did you get there? Weren't you just over? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think if you're worried about the size and strength thing from the smaller person's aspect, figure out what you can do that they can't always and mm-hmm. use those attributes.
Yeah, for sure. I think too, some of that, going back to something you said about like not just staying there in the same position, mm-hmm. that makes me bananas.
Yeah.
It has made me better though about trying to get them to move and create things. Yeah. But I think it's kind of a conversation too of, especially if you know that that person is competing, what can you do to help them?
So if they're under you or on top of you,
just in general, like maybe even before the round starts.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like sometimes it's asking like, what are you looking for in this round? You know, like when Rister and I come in and we do 10 rounds with each other, the whole time, every round is a conversation. You want more? You want less? You want something different from me? Now that's a higher level, right? Like that's mm-hmm. not always something that people are capable of doing. But if you can ask, you know, like, what are you struggling with? What do you want to work on? You know, do you want me to start mount and you have to escape that? Do you want me to, you know, do you want to start on mount because you're having trouble maintaining it? You know, like, so it can be a conversation, but it has to be a quick one. You know, this is something I'm really struggling with lately in our classes is it's a 5 minute round. So don't take the entire minute after the round to talk about the round because then you don't have a new partner, especially in a bigger class when like everybody else switched up and now you two are still together.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have that time before the next round to be like, what do you want? You know, so like those questions or, you know, those conversations have to be a little faster.
Yeah.
Does that help?
That helps.
Excellent.
I want to know if it helped our friends that are listening. So let us know. you know, we're hanging out on Instagram at Beauty and the Gee Podcast, and you can comment or you can DM us there. Or if you're listening in Spotify or on YouTube, you can leave a comment there.
Excellent.
How do you navigate developing confidence in your technique when you're at the point where it doesn't work against someone that's bigger?
So first of all, don't try it on the bigger person first, or don't try it on the black belt first, you know? You shouldn't expect that your new techniques work immediately on the person that just taught it to you or someone much bigger and stronger, right? Work your way up. If you have a kid around, try it on them first. If you have a teenager, try it on them. You know, like, work your way up to being able to do it on those bigger, stronger people. With that said, not every technique is going to work on someone bigger and stronger. Like, if you think I can double underpass somebody, like Risser's much stronger than me, you're out of your mind. I'm out of my mind if I think I could do that, right? Like, things like that. Yes, some techniques will work, and it's maybe figuring that out a little bit individually with your training partners. Like, this is going to get that person. They always leave this arm here or something like that. Mm-hmm. But don't expect every technique to work on the bigger, stronger, or higher rank person.
So what I'm hearing is that I need to maybe be more realistic in managing my expectations.
Yes. Yeah.
I think we should just call this entire podcast, Jen Needs to Learn How to Manage Her Expectations.
That's
really
been,
all it is. Every episode.
I was going to say, instead of Beauty and the Gee, not just this individual podcast, but like our whole brand.
Yes. That's all it is.
I mean, for everyone, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. important.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't want to cry in the car on the way home.
Yeah.
Thank you, Amy Dillon, for posting that video on Facebook. I was like, oh, this person knows me.
Yeah. We've all been there at times, yes. But you don't want to be there every time.
Right?
Like, you're being too hard on yourself then, for sure.
Yeah. And we are going to talk about that in the next episode. So if you have not subscribed to the podcast already, make sure that you're following us in Spotify or Apple or on YouTube or wherever you're listening to podcasts or watching them.
Excellent.
Let's talk about on and off the mat tips.
I mean, I think for this episode, a good one would be like, you know, use your words. Know what
on and off the
on
mat.
And off the mat. Yeah. Know what to your, you know, set your expectations realistically for where you are in your season of life. And focus on your goals.
That was black belt efficiency right there in answering that question, getting us an on and off the mat tip all at once.
I like did a too long, didn't read for. Yeah. Or if you're older, before too long, didn't read, it was frat.
I must have been paying attention at that point.
Yeah. It was like, forget reading all that. Forget wasn't the word.
Oh, I like that way better.
Right? Where did it go?
I think we need to bring it back. It's our fetch. We're going to make it happen.
I like it.
All right, friends. We want to hear from you about how are you taking training seriously if you're in a season of not competing or if you know that you never, ever want to compete.
Yeah.
How are you taking it seriously and setting yourself up for success and managing your expectations? Gosh, we want to know a lot.
We want to know a lot.
All the things. So
write us a novel.
Yes. It might take multiple DMs because I think there's a character limit. Yes. But that's okay. We want to hear from you. And as always, if you have questions for a topic, we like to hear those as well. So find us on Instagram at Beauty and the Gee Podcast. I am also on the TikTok at Brassy Broad Jen. Not really talking about jujitsu stuff. Occasionally, it works its way in.
Yeah, but. Yeah. I'm AJ Klingerman everywhere you go, including TikTok.
And I'm also on LinkedIn because I'm so professional.
So profesh.
So profesh. All right, friends. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you
on the mat. Beauty and the Gee is a production of the Brassy Broadcasting Company.
And brought to you by Role Model Grappling. That was very good.
Thank you. Thank you. I was like, right, don't touch that button.